And welcome back to the second part of a two-parter with Jason Ault. We love having Jason on the show and are so grateful he spent this much time with us. In this part of the show, we continue to talk about MTG Finance, but also ask a whole bunch of questions from our special Patroni. If you hear a question you don't like, well, join our Patreon community at www.patreon.com/commanderandmtg, and you too can control the show. So let's get on with it. We hope you enjoy this show just as much as we did recording it. My goodness, did we laugh during this show. Thanks for listening, everybody, and here's Jason Ault. All right, Jason, what about specific set valuations? Like, since June 2016, which is when we had you on, we've seen a bunch of sets. Eldritch Moon, of course, Conspiracy 2, which we've sort of talked about, Kaladesh, Aether Revolt, and the queen, if you will, Commander 2016. So what would you say is, you know, would you buy a box of Eldritch Moon today?
What's my goal?
I don't know. Make money off of it. What would you do with Eldritch Moon? Anything?
Buying a box, you're buying a lottery ticket.
You would buy singles. You wouldn't buy the box.
Yeah, I kind of... If you're trying to be like a casual financier, like spending $100 is going to have a... It's going to be too risky anyway. For like long-term investment, I don't know.
Do you wait for a rotation?
Yeah, probably. I would just spend that money, a box amount of money on singles. I would buy EDH stuff at rotation when it's at its cheapest because that stuff's going to go up. I feel like something like Lifecrafter's Bestiary, I feel like is at its absolute low point. And those are like a buck, right? I think you take a $4 standard card, like that that one vehicle that gets lifelink if you pay an energy. That's like $4.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Trade that for 4 Lifecrafter's Bestiary. Because that'll be like 25 cents at rotation and the Bestiaries will be a $3, $4 card in 2 years. That's what you want to do. You just want to pick up EDH stuff because that's the only stuff that's going to retain value.
Mm.
Trade out all your standard stuff as soon as you get done playing it. Pick up your foil SRAMs. Pick up your barrels. You know, your... Well, I mean, Disallow's not cheap because everyone's sort of clued in. But, like, some of your stuff that you're like, look, this is not going to be this cheap in a couple years just because EDH is going to make this go nuts.
Yeah.
There are a couple, like, obvious really good EDH cards and sets. Just trade for those. If you do buy a box of Eldritch Moon, pop it, pull all the foil and EDH cards out, and then take everything else and just try to trade it into stuff that you want. That's what's so good about being an EDH player. If you just target stuff that you want, the stuff's going to go up just because the stuff you want is the stuff everyone else wants because it's good in EDH.
Yeah.
In my experience, the stuff I like is the stuff that's just generally good. Like, everyone looks at Blade of Selves and like, yeah, I want that in my life. Well, yeah, no kidding. That's why it's expensive, because everyone wants a Blade of Selves. So,
yeah,
you want it, and it's expensive because everyone else wants it too. So, congratulations. Just by virtue of playing EDH, you have accidentally identified the stuff that's going to go up financially. So, just target the stuff you like. Get twice as much as you think you'll ever need, and then you're way better off than buying $100 worth of lottery tickets by buying a box Eldritch Moon.
That's cool.
Would you buy $100 worth of lottery tickets? I sure as hell wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't do it. It's fun to open the packs, but it's really not the best way to buy cards, especially for our format. In the same advice holds true for Kaladesh and Aether Revolt, right? What are some of the standouts right now? You said Lifecrafter's Bestiary, which I might add was one of my favorite cards from Aether Revolt. But
I like Mechanized Production. I like Exquisite Archangel.
Yeah.
Honestly, that whole cycle from SRAM all the way through to Rishkar, I like.
Yeah.
The expertises, you know, I think those are good. I don't like War of Invention as much as some people, but some people really like that. I like Indomitable Creativity is good. Consulate Crackdown, Secret Salvage, I really like for Rat and Shadowborn Apostle. I like Secret Salvage for Ripple Rats and Shadowborn Apostle decks. I think is cool. I don't think the non-foil can really retain value, but I kind of like foils of that. I kind of like Quicksmith Spy, personally. I think that's pretty nutty, especially if you're going to tap it. Wanting Constrictor is obviously nuts. I think Dark Intimations could potentially be a good card, just because if there's a good bolus, the
Yeah.
card itself, if you're resolving that, it's like hitting somebody with a Cruel Ultimatum. I really like it.
Yeah, it's a junior version.
Planar Bridge actually is underperforming, which is too bad. I thought Planar Bridge would be better, and it's sort of like, yeah, whatever. It's costed appropriately, which makes it kind of no fun to play. Paradox Engine's nuts, Lifecrafter's Bestiary's nuts. Walking Ballista, I don't really like an EDH, but like as soon as I said I didn't like it in EDH, everyone's like, oh, you don't know how to evaluate cards. Metallic Mimic is stupid. When is Scrap Trawler gonna like? Scrap Trawler seems to be the card with the most untapped potential in the set,
Yeah, it's
right?
good.
I haven't seen anybody break it yet, though. It's just sort of like everyone recognizes that the fact that any other creature dying triggers it should be really good, but no one's really found a way to make that go nuts, which I was hoping they would by now, because I really like Scrap Trawler a lot, and I kind of went out on a limb saying it would be a really good card. And then Spire of Industry. I think that's everything that's just like really stupid for EDH in this set. Everyone's got their pet cards. They're like, you missed Spire Patrol, idiot. But whatever. Finance wise, I think all that stuff will probably retain value. Even if it doesn't go up, it's not going to go down at rotation like a lot of the stuff. So if you're holding a bunch of like Heart of Kirin, I would get out of. Like, it's probably the best card in the set for standard. But like, why wouldn't you just trade that into a bunch of Hope of Gyarapur or whatever?
Right.
Just like just get out of standard stuff, get into the stuff you like. Inspiring Statuary, if that starts to go back down in price, that's a good target. Because Inspiring Statuary is a card that like that's always gonna be good in EDH. Benny Smith on Twitter said that that should probably go in every EDH deck today, and everyone was like, ah, I don't know about that. I don't know if he was being hyperbolic, but I don't know, man. Being able to tap like your Whisper Silk Cloak to cast a spell seems pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, we're heavy on equipment, and that's pretty good.
I'm like, I already have Improvise when I tap my Soul Ring, so I don't know what
Well, yeah,
artifacts
better
you're
than
running.
Improvise.
Yeah. I got double Improvise with my Soul Ring.
Yeah, but it's all the equipment. This allows you to, this actually allows you to turn off your Howling Mind too.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I just love that Improvise, the reminder text says, your artifacts can help you cast those spells.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I was thinking about Crew today. There's a lot of potential with Crew. Crew is basically Convoke and Improvise, but for activated abilities.
Yeah, I like Crew with stuff like Painseer and King Makkar also.
Yeah, absolutely. Nate built a King Makkar deck. Makkar.
Yeah, I did.
I like that you got the black propaganda in that deck. Koskan Falls.
Tap it.
Remember to tap a creature during your. Okay, I'll tap a creature. Fine. You twist my arm, I'll tap my Painseer.
Now, what about Commander 2016? I think you had said before that like those decks, they're printing so many of them that it's going to be rare for anything to be kind of a breakout. But this whole set is full of gold.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff.
It's basically print on demand too, right?
I think they're done, actually.
Oh, do you?
I feel like I read somewhere that they're sort of like done.
Hmm.
I mean, there's a couple cards that could go up. And here's the crazy thing. I think Kaneos and Tiro deck has the best cards in it.
Yeah.
Like, I got that for Christmas and I was just flipping through it. I'm like, everything in this deck is nuts. There's so many good cards in here versus the other decks are sort of like, okay, there's some okay stuff in here. But I feel like that is the most dense with good cards. And it's also the one you go and target and they're like, all they have left is like four of the KNT decks. And that's it. You know, all the Bray and Atraxa ones sold out immediately because they're worth more than MSRP just on eBay.
Yeah.
And then everybody wants to build Saskia and Yidris. But like the KNT decks are just sitting there and there's good stuff in there. So I kind of think Conqueror's Flail is going to be slow to catch on. Kind of the same way that Curtain's Call was.
Yeah.
I think Benefactor's Draft is slow to catch on. I think that could get there too. Stonehoof Chieftain,
Yeah, another good one.
potentially. Magus of the Will. Because Deep Glow Skate, everyone saw Deep Glow Skate, and they're like, yeah, absolutely, that's nuts. But it took a... Deep Glow Skate was like the Blade of Selves of this set. But there's other stuff that pop late, you know, in the last set. And I think there's some stuff here that's going to pop late.
Yeah.
Boom Pile. Why do people like Boom... I hate Boom Pile. But everyone likes Boom Pile. Oh, and Ash Barons. Ash Barons is in, like, every deck, so it's tough for that to, like, be a finance call. But I don't know, man, because Thought it's Vessel was in every deck. Thought Vessel's, like, $4 now.
Yeah. I picked a bunch up in Japan for 20 cents each.
Woo! Yeah, so I think Ash Barons could be the Thought Vessel of this set, because it's, like, what deck doesn't want that? I like Ash Barons a lot.
Right.
So I think there's some stuff that can pop late. And I think, like, the values tend to shift. Like, MSRP sort of enforces a total value of the deck. But, like, if something goes down, something else can go up to fill that void, sort of.
Mm.
And I think some of the reprints, man, there's some cards that, like, hurt specs of mine.
Oh, yeah?
By virtue of them being reprinted. But then there's stuff like Swords of Plowshares that'll go down for, like, maybe 6 months. It'll go back up.
Yeah.
You really think you're going to hurt the price of... Scavenging Ooze long term? I don't think so.
Do you advise buying the entire set, like all five decks, multiple times, or against sniping?
I sort of advise buying the deck you want that's got the cards you need to build stuff, and then maybe just buy singles. I bought one of every deck just to do it, you know.
Yeah.
But I kind of think for finance reasons, I think you just buy singles, and I think just buy double what you would buy normally. I think the stuff that's good is going to go up over time. Like Skull Clamp, if they don't put it in every single commander set, Skull Clamp can go back up. But stuff like Venser's Journal that just had its pants pulled down by a reprinting, like that price plummeted. Venser's Journal will go right back up. It'll take a year, maybe 18 months, but Venser's Journal will be back up. So why not buy all the Venser's Journals when they're cheap? Like something like Cryptghast. You look at the price graph of Cryptghast, that went down and then went right back up. It's got a nice U-shaped graph.
Yeah, it did.
So if you see stuff that's got like half of a U, like a reverse J-shape, and you know it's at its bottom, like Black Market. Black Market's at its bottom. It won't go up to like $8 or whatever like it was before, but it'll go back up. So you look at stuff that's, you know, really hurt by a reprint. Like Chromatic Lantern is already recovered, but Cauldron of Souls hasn't, but it will. So when Cauldron of Souls is basically at its cheapest, why not pick a bunch up? Because you know they'll go back up.
Mm-hmm.
Progenitor Mimic's going to go back up, you know?
Yeah, that one took a long time to even go up in the first place.
Yeah. Baleful Strix will recover. You're going to get some help from Legacy there. There's a bunch of stuff that is like, the reprints hurt it, but then all of a sudden people are going to realize, wow, we're not going to get a Colonian Hydra every day. Colonian Hydra is just going to recover. Waste Not is just going to recover. You know?
Yeah.
So there's so much stuff that, like, the reprint hurts it. At peak supply, when everyone's popping the set, you know, the prices suppress the most it's going to be. But, like, as time goes on, these prices are going to recover. So just basically look at the stuff that, like, got real cheap, but you know everyone's going to want. Blasphemous Act gets reprinted every 2 years, and that still manages to go back up. They normally don't reprint a ton of stuff year to year. They sometimes go 2 years or 3 years in between. So, like, you might have 2 years on Blasphemous Act, and it'll probably recover some of its price. Burgeoning. You don't think Burgeoning is going to recover?
Oh, it'll go back up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So now that Burgeoning's the cheapest it's ever going to be, that's where you want to spend your money. You know? So, like, as an EDH player, you know what you like. You know what you want to play. And, I don't know. That's kind of how I would, if you're looking to invest, or just buy stuff you don't want to pay more for later, just buy it now, because we're basically at peak supply. Because I don't know if more is getting printed. I don't think the Atraxa deck would be $60 on eBay if, like, you could just get a bunch easily.
Yeah.
So I kind of think they're at a point where they're sort of, like, kind of done with it.
Well, I've been recommending people who, you know, including people who are just getting into Commander but really like it. I've been saying just buy all five of them right now, because eventually you'll want to try Atraxa and you're not going to want to pay $75, $90 for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's look ahead briefly. I mean, we can't see through the fog, as it were, unless one has that kind of apocryphal early information about what's being printed, maybe by watching the price curves dive. Modern Masters 2017. Do you buy a lot? I mean, it's a draft set, sure.
Yeah, and it's sort of like they're expensive packs. I kind of like letting the set suppress the price of singles and buying them at their lowest.
Yeah.
I don't like buying packs. If you're going to draft, just draft it. It's a great set. Buy a box, draft it with your friends, keep all the cards. Let them draft for free. Yeah, come to Vegas.
Come to Vegas, draft it with Josh Lee Kwai.
I'm not advocating buying a bunch of boxes for finance reasons.
Oh, but I hope it's a fun draft set.
Oh, it'll be a fun draft set.
Yeah.
As much as they can miss the Saheeli Rai Felidar Guardian interaction, they do a pretty good job of making the Modern Masters sets at least draftable. And the second one wasn't quite as good as the first one. The first Modern Masters was a very, very good draft. It had good archetypes represented. It was just a good draft format. The second one, not so much. But I got a feeling they'll figure it out. They will pick cards that need to be reprinted, you know, maybe like your doubling season, and they will build archetypes that support it. So you're not just opening a stupid card that needs, like, oh boy, Blood Moon's just in the pack. You know, they'll do a few like that. Like Tarmogoyf is not great in limited, but just needs to be in the set.
Yeah. So you think we'll see another
Blood
Tarmogoyf
Moon, stuff
reprint.
Like that. Maybe Vettelkin Shackles again. I think Tarmogoyf will be in every Modern Masters.
It's a staple. What about Damnation? Are we due for a Damnation reprint finally?
We've been due for a Damnation reprint for a couple years now.
Are we going to get it? Can you believe that they pulled it from the Vault Annihilation for M15?
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just, the Damnation should be a 50. For as much as it's played in EDH, you know, it should be like a $10 card. It's just not played a ton. It's played enough. It's played enough that it's super annoying how expensive it is.
Yep.
But, like, what is making Damnation expensive other than scarcity? Because there's not a ton of demand. And I think any increase in the supply will sort of make people realize that the scarcity is basically artificial. So if you get any injection of supply, I think the narrative that there's a lot of demand keeping the price high will sort of evaporate, and everyone will be like, wow, there's copies of Damnation everywhere now, and the price will really plummet. You could print it at Mythic Rare, and it would still really tank the price.
Yeah?
I think so, yeah.
I figure it's going to be reprinted at Mythic Rare. It will kind of warp limited if it's at lower rarities, won't it?
Yeah, that would be a real issue. And they don't want to use a Mythic slot on it, necessarily.
Mm.
But, man, you don't need a $100 Damnation. You just don't need that. Who needs that? Who benefits? Because dealers aren't selling $100 Damnation CEH players.
Well,
who's buying $100 Damnation? That no one benefits from that.
How heavily played is it in Modern?
Exactly. It's not enough to maintain that price. So it's just sort of, I mean, it's a cube card. It's a, I don't know. I think the price is higher than it needs to be. And I think if you get more supply, people will realize that.
So you are a sell on Damnation.
If you... man. Yeah. Yeah. Because even if you're wrong, it doesn't get reprinted. It's not going to, like, go up enough that you're going to, like, eat it having to buy your copy back.
Yeah. All right. And then we know about Arch Enemy and the Amonkhet block. We're going to get gods in the Amonkhet block. Do you think those are good investments?
Yeah. Based on the ones from the last time, yeah.
Yeah.
Those have done real well.
Yeah, those crept up. It's like I blinked and they went up $5 a piece and I was like, I missed it.
Well, the good ones too. I mean, the ones that are playable in EDH, your Aethryos, your Keranos, your Krufix, your Heliod. Like the bad ones haven't really gone up as much. But I mean, how many bad ones are there really? There aren't a ton of bad ones. They're all pretty good in EDH.
Yeah, even as big beaters.
Yeah. Attacking somebody for 5 with your with your Pandemonium, that seems pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. All right. We have some questions from our patrons. Our patrons were very excited that you are back on the show.
That sounds like lies and flattery, but I'll take it.
No, they actually are. We have gotten many requests, actually, especially once people saw what Atraxa was doing to a whole bunch of cards, right? They were like, you have to get Jason back on the show. And I was like, I know. we talked about it and we just had to find a way to fit in. But with the release schedule being what it was and, you know, we have the designers and developers on. It was like, oh, where do we get them in? And finally, Valentine's Day.
That's perfect, because I'm such a loving guy.
You are. You're a loving guy, and a lot of people are, even today, buying gifts for their loved ones. And they need to know what gifts to buy them. You've taught them. You've told them.
I tried. Why will no one listen?
Ah.
Latest selves was a dollar. How did that happen?
Nate, would you do the honor?
All right. Henry Stukenborg asks a question that we already answered 30 minutes ago. So, Jackie Miller asks...
Aha, suck it, Henry.
Yeah. What kind of pizza do you like best?
Okay, here's what I do. You go barbecue sauce rather than like regular marinara. You go pineapple and bacon. Maybe some grilled chicken on there if I'm feeling frisky. I also like a good white sauce on the pizza. I dated a vegetarian, and she turned me on to like a white sauce, spinach, portobello mushroom pizza. And it was like one of those like DiGiorno type deals, like one of those yeah. brands in the green box. It was like a $6 frozen pizza that had that, and that was super good for what it was. So if I'm going like sit down place, I will definitely do my barbecue sauce concoction. But as far as frozen goes, some of the vegetarian stuff is better than some of the meat stuff if you're going frozen. So
yeah,
pineapple on pizza. Not bad. I don't know what people's reservations are, but tomato sauce is sweet, you nerds. Tomatoes, fruit. Fruit's already on the pizza.
Besides Commander, do you play anything else?
Legacy? I don't know. Every once in a while, someone at the LGS will hand me a deck. It's like, go play Modern Knight, but I play mostly Limited, I would say, for non-EDH, which is weird. I was super into Constructed before, but mostly, I don't know, you can just sit down at a table and play Limited, and that's good. It's like, here's $15, can I play now? And can I keep my cards? I like that, versus having to maintain a collection for some of the, you know, 60-card formats. So yeah. I got the Legacy stuff, I'm never going to get rid of that. I'm never going to get rid of my EDH stuff, but Standard, I'm not about that, so I mostly just play Limited.
Do you play any EDH variants?
No.
No. Okay.
I've heard of a lot of them, but no. We play an EDH variant called Drink the Beer, where we drink a bunch of beers while we play EDH, and there are no rules extra. You just have to remember, don't put beers on the playing surface. You either have beers or cards on the table, but not both. And you drink the beers while you're playing.
Yes.
That's my variant.
You just answered the first part of Andy Bentley's next question. How does your drinking impact your judgment on speculations?
Oh, yeah. Do you spec while drunk?
I podcast. I drink while I podcast to get me through the podcast. So everyone's like, I only ever hear him drunk. Like one time. I get super drunk to do a set review, and I talk about how Chromanticore is the worst design card in history, and now everyone thinks I'm a lush. I just happen to have been at a comedy show tonight. I don't drink that much. Maybe like once a week tops, and everyone's like, man, how's your liver doing? No, I don't drink when I speculate. I have to watch a kid most of the day. I can't be like drunk babysitting. Like, yeah, keep your play time to a minimum decibel level, daddy's hungover. That's not going to fly, so... I speculate like I babysit, completely sober.
Wow.
When you play Commander, what is your preferred style / Commander?
Oh, I don't know. I like to play bad decks that I want to win. I've got this Vorel the Hulkclay deck that just doesn't win, and it's upsetting.
What are you doing with it?
Right? How do you lose a Vorel the Hulkclay? I just can't get there. And I just keep playing it, trying to win with it. The most recent deck I made, I hate. It's Kaidel and Thrasos, and it's too good. The deck I made before that was black-white Daxos. It took me a long time to make that. But I'm like, Daxos is, he makes enchantments. Why don't I just play this with Sarah Sanctum? So I got like Heliod and Daxos in the deck. So I've got a thing that I'm trying to do. You know, you do your thing. I'll disrupt you a little bit if I can, but I'm mostly trying to do my thing. And I hope I draw the cards because I don't like to run a ton of tutors. And then if I lose a couple games, I'm like, all right, screw this. And then I get out my Maelstrom Wanderer deck and win on turn three. So I guess I like to be fair until I'm not.
So in Daxos, you only run like what? 5 or 6 tutors? Academy Rector?
I run Plea for Guidance.
And that's like, fair.
That's about it.
Yeah.
I run a lot of card draw, though. I just draw a ton of cards.
Yeah.
Jackie asks, if you lived in a shard or wedge, which one would it be?
Ideally. I don't know. I kind of like, I'm drawn to Teemer, but I would prefer to live in Bant. You know? Bant seems...
less likely to be killed.
Yeah, I'm not going to be murdered randomly in Bant. Everyone seems to be law-abiding. Doesn't like fisticuffs. I'm like, yeah, Bant seems good. So, I mean, I don't know. I like my Maelstrom Wanderer deck a lot, but like, Bant... Bant's where it's at, I think.
Hmm.
But I'm about that green blue life. Even like not as a person necessarily, but like every deck I play wants to have green and blue in it. So that wouldn't be a bad shard to live in. I definitely don't want to like. I don't know, man. I don't think any of the cons block shards would be good for me. Because like bare minimum, you're sleeping in a tent outside. Screw that. Yeah, Teemer's Land is literally called Frontier Bivouac. I'm not living in a bivouac.
Yeah, but the monk's got a monastery.
Bant's got castles. I want to live in a castle. Screw a bivouac. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Man, no one wants me as a monk. I couldn't be Jeskai. Forget that. I don't have the discipline. It's like, yeah, we wake up at 4 o'clock for prayers, and then we're going to stand waist deep in a freezing cold river and do Tai Chi. I'm like, you know what? How about I just... You got a book reading shard? How about that? How about we read some books? So I don't have the discipline to be Jeskai. I don't want to sleep outside, so I basically have to go shards block at that point.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm not a cyborg, so I couldn't be Esper. You know, I'm not dead, so I couldn't be Grixis. I'm not about to be dead, so I couldn't be Jund. Yeah, like, what are my options?
We're back to tents anyway.
Yeah, I'm not a furry, so I couldn't be Naya. So I guess basically Bant's the only place for me.
Andy asks, when you aren't recording a podcast or doing comedy or being a dad and a husband and playing Magic, what do you do for fun or just to pass the hours and hours of soul-crushing boredom and loneliness? No, for real, I need stuff to do when the hours of boredom kick in, so ask him.
I think Andy, as he well knows, when you're not doing comedy or being a dad or podcasting or writing, like, what else is there? There's not too much time. I guess I watch Netflix. try to... Is that super boring? Like, comedy is a... It's such a full-time jobby, you know? It's a hobby that's a jobby. So, I put so much time into that. That's all my free time. So, being dad and husband and then... you know, doing my work obligations, it doesn't leave me a whole lot of free time. I bought a copy of Infinite Jest when my daughter was born, like with the intention of reading it, and she's a year old and I haven't cracked it. So I don't even get to read books. I have comic books, I'll read those. But like, yeah, just I get home from comedy at like midnight and you know, I'll podcast and then go to bed. So I don't have a ton of soul crushing boredom, Andy. I think you need some more pursuits. Maybe do a few more open mics or something. I don't know how many opportunities you get to go up in Toronto. I mean, I don't know who this guy is. He could be anybody.
So please, everybody, go to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery and donate now.
Buy me a life.
Save Jason from one comedy show a year.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, I mean, I don't get bored because I got so much to do. So, I don't know. Andy needs to hit it a little bit harder. Maybe Andy should get his articles in on time. Again, I don't know who this guy is. I'm just speculating.
Is Andy writing? I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, Andy's contributed a couple articles. The first one was about Grand Arbiter Augustine. It was called I Am the Worst.
Oh, that was Andy Hull.
Andy Hull.
This was a different
Andy.
Oh, yeah. Really? I just assumed because this guy knew a lot about me. And if it's not someone I'm friends with, that's creepy. Jesus. Yeah. What? Yeah. Really?
Pull the curtain back quickly.
Oh, here I was making jokes thinking it was Andy Hull. Okay. Creepy. Thanks for listening to. I mean, I put myself out there. It's not his fault. He just knows about
everything.
I can't keep my mouth shut about myself. So, yeah, all my stuff's out there.
Jackie Miller asks, can you ask Jason Alt to directly off?
Yeah, everybody who's a Patreon got like got that. Other Jackie was telling me that like she was listening to a bunch of her iTunes on shuffle and like randomly she got directly off like right in her ears and she's like, why? Why was that? What do I have this? Which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's the same Jackie, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is that Jackie?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a man. See, I don't. You're confusing me.
Yeah.
Because you answered asked a question from another Jackie earlier, and I just assumed that was her.
Yeah, it's the same Jackie. All the way through, it's the same Jackie.
Andy Bentley asks.
Man.
This is a totally different Andy now. This is not Andy Bentley or Andy Hull.
This guy's like, talk about my shoe size and other you shouldn't know. That's weird, right?
Oh, so you'll have to skip that question.
No, it's fine, whatever.
What color do you feel truly encapsulates your style of play?
Simic. That's not an answer. I don't care. I don't know. Blue-ish? Bluish.
What color do you like the least?
Red. Red's terrible, right? Aww. Red's so bad in EDH. Every other color, I feel like you don't have to pair with something. Red sometimes makes other colors better, but like, I don't know.
Kiki jiki.
Yeah, no, in Purphoros, like in what's the guy, the mob boss, Krenko. Yeah, there's some cool mono red decks. Hell, I would even play like a
Ashling.
Yeah, Ashling. Ashling in 99 Mountains, get there. I would even play like a Godo or something like that. That would be a cool like Godo Voltron. But I kind of feel like red just has too many weaknesses.
Well, if you want to handicap yourself.
I mean, I don't not necessarily.
Don't play one of those commanders, but play another red commander. Playing Godo is perfect.
Yeah, Godo does white stuff, that's for sure. I just, mm-hmm. I don't know, Boros is sort of boring to me too, so. I think red is not the worst color. What did I call it? I called it like the sixth best color or something like that.
Yeah.
Because like I think artifacts and Eldrazi are better. It's like the sixth or seventh best color.
Would you play Hope of Ghirapur above any of the other red commanders?
No, Hope of Ghirapur is so bad. It's like, hey guys, we made a terrible Xantid swarm. You're welcome. Yeah, I don't like Hope of Ghirapur at all.
But it's legendary and it's a Thopter.
Ugh. Ugh.
That's what I said.
I mean, they gave us a red-green werewolf and it's legendary. That doesn't mean I have to like it.
So what color did your daughter pick when you put the basic lands in front of her?
I haven't done that yet because I don't know. I don't feel like
you only
ready.
Have foil, full art, basic lands.
That too. Yeah. I don't want to get your sticky little baby fingers all over an unglued land.
Hey, that land might be worth something. Did Rebecca Gay draw it?
No, they're unglued. That's what I use. I don't like unhinged. I like unglued better.
Mm.
For nostalgia purposes, I guess. Like, I was buying unglued packs because I lived in the UK and had, like, some disposable income. And those were the packs I bought. And that was dumb of me. But, like, I have all these useless unglued cards, but I still have all these lands, and they look real good. So, and plus, that was when I first... That was, like, what, 98? That was when I decided that, like, I wanted to get my basic land game on point because I played this dude at an LGS and had all the same island. I was like, yeah, that's what I want to be about. So I started getting enough unglued lands together. And unhinged came later, and I was sort of like, yeah, that's fine or whatever, but I still like the way unglued looks. So I'm not letting my daughter put her grimy little baby hands on my valuable, beautiful lands. When she's like, I don't know, when she's old enough to know what she's actually doing. Because, like, I don't want to randomly pick because of the way I arranged it.
It's not random.
What if she just, like, hits a forest just because that was closest to her? I don't want that. Plus, her, I don't know if all your listeners probably know this, but her name's Liliana, so she's going to pick a swamp, I would think.
What if she picks white? I guess that puts her right on the path, doesn't it?
She's Orzhov. No Orzhov's going to live in my house. I will kick her out. I don't care if she doesn't have basic coping skills. No daughter of mine.
Jacqueline Millier asks, which Jace do you want to murder the most? Memory Adept is pretty much the worst. Look at that stupid hair. Who does he think he is? An anime character?
Jace is... That's what we're going to go with? Jace is like the guy. He's the guy. That's who you want to build your whole universe around? He's so he's like Superman. Like, who likes Superman? You're dumb if you like Superman.
Well, this is sort of like murder, death. What is it?
Yeah. Bang, marry, kill. Yeah.
Yeah, except everything is kill.
Okay, yeah. I would bang Mind Sculptor. I would marry Vryn's Prodigy, and I would kill the one, the secrets.
Unraveler,
yeah. Final answer. Jace is kind of boring to me.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a Kiora any day.
Oh, yeah.
If you could take all the Kioras and, like, average their abilities and make a good card, you could make a good Planeswalker if you, like, took all of Kiora's abilities and picked the best three.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to untap stuff, and I want to make an 8/8 octopus.
That's pretty much all you want to do.
And then I want to draw some cards, yeah. Okay, here's my Kiora, right? Her plus one is untap or tap a permanent. Her minus two is you may play an extra land this turn, draw a card, and her minus eight is for each card in your hand, create an 8/8 octopus token or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm so good at this.
Yeah.
Between my ability to pull a planeswalker out of my butt on the spot and the fact that I probably would have missed the Saheeli Rai Felidar Guardian interaction makes me like qualified to be on R&D.
You know, I'm not saying they don't make mistakes once in a while, but the promo of Saheeli's, what is it, expertise?
Yeah.
What is her card? The promo has a Felidar Guardian on it. I mean, come on. And that had to be commissioned months ago. They had to know.
Okay, I thought the fact that, like, with the authority of the consoles, I thought that pretty much indicated they knew that was going to be a thing and they didn't care. They're like, and then Evan Irwin's like, now we missed it. I was really surprised.
Well, somebody caught it.
Yeah, every player. That's the thing, man. You can't beat the crowdsourcing of 10 million Magic players. Someone's going to catch that, and they're going to tweet it, and then everyone will know. So you got to hope that your 10 R&D people are better than 10 million Magic players, and they are most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. they messed up this block.
Well, yeah, it was one colossal blunder, but man, that's such a low rate when you think about it.
Yeah, it is.
You think about how hard it is to make sets and balance them relative to each other, and like have abilities that sort of, you got to have abilities that work with the block before and the block ahead. It's so hard. Ugh.
Oh, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy.
I mean, they colossally blundered, but like, man, I've made some dumb mistakes at every job I've had too. We all have.
Yeah, I look at the Saheeli Rai and Felidar Guardian combo and Aetherworks Marvel and any Eldrazi.
Yeah. Well, I think they want people to do stupid EDH stuff like Aetherworks Marvel and any Eldrazi. I think they want that. That's good. That's great for Standard. They made Emrakul a little too good.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is. It's an incredibly tough job. And it's why you look at all the resources they have to put into understanding Standard, right?
Yeah.
There's no way they can look at all of the other formats, right? with the same level of detail and thoroughness that they put into Standard. And, you know, they're doing a pretty good job.
You know what's even funnier? When stuff they really like, and they're like, man, this is going to crush Standard, just never materializes.
Yeah.
Cause
Savage Nux.
Oh, yeah. Pride of the Clouds or whatever. They're like, oh, Flying Tribal's just going to wreck this Standard. And then no one played Pride of the Clouds. was it Eidolon of Countless Battles? They thought that was going to be a real card. Like, I think Eidolon of Countless Battles would be like $15 once everyone realizes how good it is. And everyone's like, nah, we're playing Brymass. And they're like, oh, that's legit. Cool. Does Jackie have, do all your listeners total have any more questions?
No, just to recap, you've got $200. You want to put your money into Magic the Gathering in order to start your MTG finance career. Do you put it into collections, boxes, or singles? I think we know this answer already, but...
What do you think I'm going to say?
You're going to say collections.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yep. Then singles, then boxes in that order.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, as an EDH player, just spend your money on cards you like.
Yeah.
Because they're going to retain value, because if you like them, other people like them too. Just buy good cards.
Yeah, and you're going to spend $200 on singles for a deck anyway.
Yeah, but buy at the right time. Buy stuff as it's rotating out of Standard, as at its cheapest, you know?
Yeah.
You can spend that same $200 on the same $200 worth of cards, but do it at a different time and have your money go a little farther.
What's the next rotation? It's not Amonkhet anymore, is it?
I don't know. It's so hard to keep track.
Yeah. Because I don't.
But
I don't
everyone else in the finance community knows that stuff, and they'll just tweet it, so I don't even have to pay attention. Isn't that great?
Yeah, Twitter is both a bane and a boon.
Yeah.
It's good for stoking the rage, that's for sure, isn't it, Nate?
Yeah.
That's your rage noise?
It's a noise.
I agree, that was a noise.
He has neighbors sleeping right now. He has to tone it down. All right. Nate, do you, this might get cut. Do you have any message of the week?
Not for cards, no. I see you got a couple of questions here, though. So you're asking the best card to build a fallout shelter with. Well, the answer, I think, would be water-soaked dual lands. If you have some boxes of those, the mixture of the dual lands just makes it just basically a box of cement.
And yeah.
It's awesome. You can build your water retaining walls. A card most likely to hold an edge when thrown. I think that would be a freshly cracked foil invention. You can weaponize your maps. And there you go.
You're making me... that made me cringe. Don't do any of those things. No.
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 And that's how the message of the week works.
They made a reference on Venture Brothers about throwing magic cards at somebody and catching a corner. I'm like, they don't have corners. I'm turning this episode off.
I can't watch this. They don't do their research. So, thanks for hanging out with us, Jason. It's been wonderful.
Anytime. I agree. It has been wonderful to have me on your cast. I'm sure you enjoyed it.
And who did you say the best guest we've ever had on is?
Who did I say?
Yeah.
Oh, me, right?
Yeah, of course, right?
I don't know. Andy Hall probably wants me to say him. But I've already said his name enough thinking that every Andy is him. That's just, I don't know. I think every Canadian is Andy Hall also.
Well, his favorite card is Vorel of the Hull Clade, as you know.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm trying to make that work. Wish that deck were good.
Well, he can help out. I believe he's called Vorel his boy before, so.
You know what it needs? It needs an intruder alarm, I think. I think every deck needs intruder alarm.
Oh, yeah. Or or Paradox Engine, right?
Right? Yeah, what if we just made a intruder alarm completely obsolete by making it colorless and unfair?
Oh, no, it pairs well, doesn't it, Nate?
Hey, I did that joke already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why choose? Why just run both? Whatever.
How can people reach you?
Oh man, how can't they reach me? Just wait until I'm on the podcast again in 6 months. I'm on Twitter at Jason E. Alt. My email is altjason17@gmail.com, and lots of people have been contacting me about contributing to EDH Rec. Some lucky people will be able to do that. I'm on Facebook, but man, don't mess with me on Facebook. I don't want to talk to nerds on there. I'm on Reddit sometimes. I'm a contributor to MTG Price and Gathering Magic. Brainstormbrewery.com is my podcast. Money Draft is my other podcast. So those are both on brainstormbrewery.com. You can probably contact me through there. I'm just trying to be everywhere. I'm trying to be everywhere.
And that prevents you from having the soul-crushing hours of boredom.
Right? Who gets bored? Mm-hmm. How do you do that? I'm on TCG Player sometimes. Not much lately. My Card Shark account is... You guys remember Card Shark? That was fun. yeah. I've sold on Card Shark, a TCG Player, and eBay.
Are you on Puka Trade?
No. I don't want to get into it, but no.
No, I think I've seen your occasional comment. So. yeah. All right. Well, thanks for hanging out with us. It's been a lot of fun.
Anytime.
And anybody who's still with us at this point, thank you for tuning in and sticking with us. Jason is always fun to have on and fun to talk to. Maybe we can pull something out of the pre-show.
You should scrap this whole episode and I'll re-record it tomorrow when I'm feeling better.
After you come to? Why? What do you mean after you're feeling better?
I don't know. None of this was usable.
Let's hope some of it was. So if you want to support the podcast for all the good things we put in your ears, including Jason Alt's voice, head over to patreon.com. Donate a buck a show or so, or just give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We love our listeners, and we are we're incredibly grateful to all of the patrons. We are astounded that anybody is happy enough with us that they give us money, especially patrons like Michael Schulman, Jonas Ballestad. I'm sure that's not how you pronounce that, but I couldn't help it. And David Grinnis. Grinnis.
They are just going to revoke their donations at this point, right?
We owe them money at this point.
Yeah. Once you learn to say my name, nerd.
So everybody come play test with us if you can. And if you donate $10 or more per episode, come join our patron chat group that we host over on Facebook. Jason, you've got a cool theme song, but I dare say it's not as cool a theme song as we have. Do you know who wrote ours?
I did.
Was it Nate?
You're correct. It's Nate.
I feel like at the end of every episode you say, Nate Burgess did our theme song.
It's almost like we do that.
Yeah, he does.
I think that's a thing.
It is.
I've listened to this podcast a non-zero number of times.
And
even
you can
when
say,
I wasn't on, I will listen to episodes I wasn't. I know, who does that?
You know, the episode was edited by Terry Robertson. Our videos were created by Hunter Pruitt and Bradford Heron. These two guys are not only actual patrons of the show,
but they're nerds!
But there are kind of nerds. And Hunter is putting a whole bunch of card images, like almost every card we mentioned this episode, and there were a lot of them. We're going to see images of them right up on the YouTube there.
Oh, man, I said like 90 card names this episode.
I know. I could hear him typing away.
Why?
Just name like 10 more right now.
Yeah, quickly. Right?
If you say doubling season, people have to take a drink.
Dwarven Miner, Goblins of the Flarg, Healing Salve, Leeches.
Jesus.
Homer at Spawning Bed.
This is like an encyclopedia show.
Rabinia Soul Singer, Bogard on Hellkite.
All right.
I don't know. What makes a 9-9 Kraken? What are the Kioras? I'm just looking at stuff next to my desk. Nemesis Beast from Star Realms. Basic Island. Take that, you nerd. Man, I just wish we had cool people that would do that for Brainstorm Brewery. I guess I just envy your cast so much that I just want to ruin that guy's night. For liking what he likes. Mesa Pegasus.
Poor Hunter. Although this might be the episode that he's turned over to Bradford.
Plateau, we'll but not the Plateau from Revised, the one from Unlimited.
You have a fine logo. Ours was created by Mr. Picto with assistance from my wife, Kelly. We have some tech whizzes we thank every week, as you know, because you've listened to Non-Zero a number of times, and it's Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and of course, for his server space, we thank Justin every week.
Are you doing these just for me? It feels like it.
No, we do this every episode.
No, but I mean, but this time it's for my benefit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're talking to you directly.
Good. I feel
our
special.
Our listeners have tuned out by now.
They should have. This is why that's why I keep coming back. It's like, well, yeah. I don't like those guys and they're nerds, but they did the post-show announcements just for me, and I felt real special. I will give them one more chance.
Oh, my God. We're 2 hours and 15 minutes into the recording. This is hysterical.
Was that a four-parter?
It looks like, sir, it looks like you got another two-parter out of this.
All right.
You can reach us by going to our website at commander@mtg.com. Our email is cast@commander@mtg.com. We love the email, by the way. We've gotten a whole bunch recently, and we're going to have to do a mailbag just so that we can alleviate some of the guilt we have for letting it pile up. You can find us on all the social media. Is that right, Nate? How do they find us?
Yep. Searching for Commander in MTG Podcast.
Yeah. And then on Twitter, I'm at KETJAK. That's Ketjack. I'll explain that someday.
No, you won't. I'm at Mr. Plorg, MISTERPLORG.
Will you explain that someday?
Nope, not here.
I'm at Jason E. Alt.
And we have one final Sean update before Jason takes us out for the show.
Oh, what did I say he was doing? Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's actually learning to play bass guitar.
Wait, Ringo is or Sean is?
No, Sean is. He's taking lessons.
Oh, very good. From Ringo?
Yep.
That makes it easy to photobomb, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
And you can send bass playing tips to at copain26, C-O-P-A-I-N-2-6. That's Sean's Twitter account. Jason, if you would do us the honor of taking us out and ending the show, we would be much obliged.
Goodbye, nerds.
Bye, nerds.
Bye.
Commander in.